choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. The words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Okay, I want to talk a little bit of a blast from the past. Anyone remember Kinko's? Remember the store Kinko's? Yes. Okay. So in the heyday of my work in youth ministry, Kinko's was invaluable to me. Nowhere could I go where I could turn my flyers into posters, bind my booklets, and print multiple copies super fast. Long before we used tablets and our smartphones on a daily basis, you could utilize the desktops at Kinko's to write your resume or send an email or, you know, surf the web. Open 24/7, you could literally walk in there, swipe your credit card, or you could pay cash and get the amount put on a card that you could swipe. At the kiosk at each of the printers that formats it for use at the copy machine, and then you go to work. Or you can run off house plans, you can format and print and copy and color photos. You could even create banners, send a fax. You could do that. You could type a document, create flyers, or even do some video conferencing. And back then, Kinko's was the place to just do it all. So it wouldn't be quite right to call Kinko's a mere, you can't just call it a copy center or a copy store. It's that and more. It's like a network of workstations for the informal, the mobile office, road warrior, knowledge worker on the go. It was the growing style of shared space in the business world. It would bring budding entrepreneurs. It would give them a space that they could use, and then they would save on monthly office rentals. Magazine writer Rob Walker describes Kinko's as a cultural phenomenon. He notes that the people who work at Kinko's aren't called employees. You know what they're called? They're called coworkers. They work with you. They are the customer's coworkers. They are our coworkers, and they're on our team. Not that he's always happy with his coworkers. Sometimes Rob gets annoyed, especially when he visits outlets in unfamiliar cities. And so he has a few suggestions for improving the way they do business, including the observation that when he gets in line to be waited on, there's usually only one person working at the counter, while five or six of his coworkers are milling around in the background, working on big fancy machines or pretending to work on them. And then, as they're doing that, they pretend that he, who's the fifth in a row that goes very deep, is totally invisible. And for Rob, that annoys him. Because if his coworkers insist on functioning in this way, he feels like they could at least put up a screen so that Walker and the rest of us coworkers didn't know how many of our coworkers are back there doing nothing but changing toner. Well, you're not gonna see Kinko's around, I don't think, anymore. They've slightly been replaced by Staples. You can go in there and get copies, but nothing like what Kinko's used to provide. We found other places to do our work. Mainly, I think, probably coffee shops, right? Well, in a world of homicide or suicide bombers, in a world of global warming and bioterrorism, perhaps the things that he was complaining about, Kinko's, perhaps those things aren't a big deal. We're inclined to tell Rob to relax and sip the coffee, provided free, of course, at Kinko's. It's what we feel like telling the coworkers in the gospel lesson before us that we just heard read. Here we have kingdom workers, and there are coworkers. The kingdom of heaven, says Jesus, is like a landowner who goes out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And he rounds up a group, agrees to pay them the usual daily wage, and then puts them into action. They go to the vineyard. They start working. And at 9 o'clock, he gathers another group, and at noon and at 3 o'clock, four different teams. And finally, at 5 o'clock, his last team, he finds still more laborers who are willing and able to work. And so he sends them into the vineyard to do what they can till sundown. And so as the day ends, the landowner instructs his manager to pay the co-workers, beginning with those who started at 5 in the afternoon. And so their pay was 1 denarius, the usual daily wage. And then the 3 o'clock team is paid 1 denarius, and so on. The nooners, the 9 o'clock crowd, and then at the end, finally, the all-day workers get their pay. And it is the same, 1 denarius. Now, this final group of co-workers are annoyed, believing that they deserve more than the other workers who began their work at the end of the day. These last worked only 1 hour. The sunrise crowd grumbles, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. But these people are thinking like Kinko's. They're not thinking like kingdom co-workers. And so the landowner replies to them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong," explains the landowner to one of the all-day workers. "Did you not agree to work for me for the daily wage?" "Well, yes, in fact, I did," admits the laborer. "Then take what belongs to you," says the landowner. "I choose to give to this last the same as I gave to you." As unfair as it seems to pay a 1 hour worker the same wage as a 12 hour worker, we have to admit that the landowner is perfectly free to do what he chooses with what belongs to him. If he wants to be generous, he is certainly entitled to be generous. The economy of the kingdom of God, God's grace is unmerited. God pays a full day's wages regardless. Now, we automatically understand the complaint of those day-long workers. After all, we're used to multinational corporations laying off thousands of workers while handing out million-dollar bonuses and stock options to the CEOs. We're used to a young man barely out of college getting obscene amounts of money because he can toss a round ball through a hoop, while a third grade elementary teacher is awarded $30,000 a year. We're used to living in a culture where the lowest paid people on the economic ladder are the ones to whom we entrust the care of our preschool children. But Jesus understood the value of all people, regardless of what the culture thought of them. He gave all people value. Even the last one to arrive at the table is given the full meal. The parable that we hear today opposes us two deep-seated views of human existence, two worlds, if you will, between which we go back and forth in our lives. They are the world of merit and the world of grace. The full day workers lived, or at least worked, in a world of merit. They believed the system was essentially all quid pro quo. They believed in a merit system, and like most believers in a merit system, they considered themselves worthy, deserving of their reward. Now, for some people to feel deserving, others obviously have to be undeserving, right? But in this parable, they are the last hired. So in the eyes of the day-long workers, the owner's graciousness becomes injustice in their eyes. Instead of seeing themselves as self-absorbed, they see the landowner as unfair. And the tragedy is that they estrange themselves from the source of graciousness. But by contrast, in a world of grace, we pray for mercy. We know that we don't earn or deserve what God has given us. We don't worry about someone getting away with something, for we ourselves are getting away with something. And oh, how joyful life becomes when you understand that in this world, Salvation is a gift, not a reward for work well done. In one penetrating parable, Jesus leaves us with a lot to think about. We know that we can't work our way into heaven. We can never do enough good in this life to earn everlasting retirement, whether we start our Christian service at 6 in the morning or at 5 in the evening. We also learn that we are all in need of God's grace and forgiveness, every single one of us. In the kingdom economy, we can be grateful that God chooses to be so generous. And we learn, too, that in God's service, we do not all have the same work to do. Some of us can teach, others of us can sing, others cook, and others organize. Some are really great at visiting the sick, or evangelizing, or serving the poor, taking care of children, repairing the church roof, and providing a sermon. We all have different gifts and abilities. Just like the vineyard, or just like the workers in the vineyard, we have different tasks that we're called to perform with different time frames and energy levels and abilities. But the really cool thing that I want you to hear today is the equal nature of the rewards. Because no matter how menial or glorious the task, we all get paid the same. In God's eyes, you see, we are all equal. And at the end of the day, we are all paid the same and are paid what is right. New Testament professor Daryl Doty put it this way: in the kingdom of God, all people are already equal because all people are loved by God. And in the kingdom, every person should receive what is right, regardless of the work they do. In the kingdom, all people are equal, rich and poor, wealthy and destitute, righteous and sinners, powerful and powerless. All people are equal because all people are loved by God. And since this is true in the kingdom, it should also be true in the life of the church. Whether we are leaders or helpers, teachers or students, administrators or elders or deacons or nursery attendants, in the church, as in Kinko's, we're all co-workers, and we all receive exactly what is right from a God who's notoriously generous and lavish. Before I end today's sermon, I want to talk a bit about forgiveness, because that's also an underlying theme in our scripture readings, not just today, but for the last several weeks. Our theme is the long haul over, I've talked about that over the next past weeks and then into the next couple weeks. And the point in this theme of the long haul is that we are stuck, so to speak, living with one another. And how do we respond to wrongs who are done among us? We've talked about forgiveness. Jesus spoke about how we are to approach someone that we need forgiveness from. And we didn't read this passage, but you can remember the disciple who asked, how many times do we have to forgive? And Jesus answered him with an answer that in short terms means every time. So I want to tell you that I was really grateful this week to watch several of our church members lavish grace and love upon a young adult who had made some really bad decisions. I know this young adult doesn't understand God's grace and forgiveness. And in a way, I can understand that. Because in many ways, it goes beyond human logic that anyone, much less God, could forgive our many sins as God does. And it's hard to relate to God who we don't see. We listen to the stories that Jesus shares through the Bible and the gospel, but there's stories where you can't see the physical person or image. And so I think there are a lot of people that just have a hard time with that. And understanding, you know, the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. So this young adult was never shown grace or love as a child. Instead, she was told she was a mistake and a failure and all sorts of other put downs. And that's not an excuse for her bad decisions, but it's an explanation. So this week, this young adult confessed to their trespasses that they made at this church. And, you know, it wasn't done in the timing or in the way that we would have preferred, but I think they were courageous to say they just really messed up. And I know that they will be challenged as they begin work among our community to gain trust back and to feel more comfortable around people, but I also believe that it will happen. And already God put this young person in a room to experience what grace and love and forgiveness look like. So that unknowing God to them, the one they cannot see, so it makes it hard for them to understand, was made known to them in the words and the actions of the church members that were sitting around the table. And that was just a really beautiful thing to see. We don't like to have conflict or disagreements. And it wasn't so much that, but it's hard to acknowledge our own sinfulness in front of other people. And it was just beautiful to see that she was graciously accepted and forgiven. And so it makes me think, how do we labor in the Lord's vineyard without feeling like we are owed something? Like those early day workers, they felt like they were owed more. And I understand that, but how can we just simply enjoy the service and the connection that it brings us? We are doing kingdom work here in our church. We are bringing the message of God's grace and forgiveness in very practical ways as we live out our faith with one another. We make mistakes, all of us do. We disappoint others. But oh my, it's glorious when that grace and that love is offered and received. So settling in for the long haul in this faith journey, I think, is to acknowledge that much of what we've learned about how the world works doesn't fit us anymore. Because Jesus comes along and, well, he turns everything upside down, doesn't he? And I think to myself that what a glorious way to live it is for the long haul. To God be all glory, praise, and honor. Amen. I invite you to stand if you're able as we sing our song of praise. And this week we are going to sing the song Forever.